In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor Greg Huffman, as he shares the truth for the day.
Welcome back to the Word for Life radio ministry. I'm Pastor Greg, and with me in the studio is Justin Blake. He is a, as they used to say back when I was a kid, a tall drink of water. You're how tall? 6'9", did you say?
Yep,
6'9". And doing an internship here at Brookside halfway through college. And we were talking about the Lord's will for your life and what could be a possibility for you. You love basketball. You love camp ministry. You are open to missions. I know when my youngest son was graduating from Maranatha, he was thinking that God may be leading him into missions. And he went to talk to one of the missionaries that was there at Maranatha for a missions conference. And the fellow said, why don't you come down to Brazil and just look at our ministry and see what you think? He and his wife, Kim, had been married for a year. And so after they graduated, they thought that sounds like a great thing to do. So they took a trip to Brazil and visited this fella and found out that he had a sports ministry connected with his church in right downtown São Paulo, Brazil. The top floor of his building was a basketball court, just wide open to the to the sun and the moon and stars and everything else. And David had played basketball, he'd played football, he'd run track, and so sports was a big aspect of it. And the guy said, we really need somebody that can help us in this area. It had a very large ministry, large teen ministry. So here's a local church that needed someone to, as we said last time, kind of be a front door to the church to bring people in. It was interesting that at the end of those 2 weeks, that missionary's son pulled him aside and said, can you and your wife stay another week and visit the ministry that my wife and I have started? Because we've been praying for a young couple to come and join us, and they stole him away from his dad. And so when they went to Brazil, they didn't work with that ministry that needed the sports director, but went with the son and his wife, and they were in church planting. But in planting three churches, the first two churches were planted by David started, he'd buy a piece of property and he'd start a building, but he would also make sure that in the back of the piece of property, there was enough space for a soccer field. And so he would walk down the street of the community with a soccer ball under his arm. Now, the kids in that area of Brazil were playing soccer with empty plastic Coke bottles, if you can imagine, kicking a Coke bottle for a soccer ball. So they see this guy with a real soccer ball under his arm, and he was like the Pied Piper. You know, they just started following him and went to the back there, and they said, Mister, can we use your ball? And he said, I'll come back on Saturday, and we'll have a game. And he called it Sabbath Soccer. And so they came back, and he played with them and then stopped at halftime and had Cokes and donuts and cookies, things like that, and began to share the gospel with them. And then they'd go back and play the other half of the game. And then during the week, he would go visit those homes of where those kids came from. And as soon as the parents said, oh, you're the guy with the soccer ball, come on in, he started two churches that way. Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
Because yeah. The parents just basically said to the kids, go do what you want to do. Yeah. And they always loved to play soccer. So even if we feel like God hasn't necessarily called me to preach, there's still opportunities, aren't there?
For sure.
And so as we consider how God is leading us, it's interesting to watch him providentially open and close doors. Now, you're halfway through college. What's your major right now?
So I'm currently a missions major.
Okay.
I actually switched after my freshman year. I was a pre-med major. I was considering going into sports training.
Mm-hmm.
It's like being a sports trainer.
Right, right.
But God had other plans.
Other plans.
Yeah.
Okay. So you've still got a couple years of college, and not exactly sure if you're going to be doing that online or on campus or whatever. The Lord will direct you in that area. Talk to me about when the Lord began to just open up your heart to some type of full-time Christian service. How did that work? When did that happen?
So it probably started back when I was 16, and it was actually at another summer camp too.
Okay.
That I grew up going to. So that's another reason too why I love summer camp.
Sure,
camp,
yeah.
So much, because it had such a deep impact on my own life. But I remember this vividly. It was the summer of the year that I turned 16. And I remember one of the services, the message was about just being willing to do whatever God calls you to do. And I remember thinking at that time, you know, Lord, I'm open to whatever you want me to do, even if that means preaching, even if that means being a missionary, even if that means, you know, whatever. And that was a time when I really surrendered my own direction in life and my own thought of what would I want to do instead I said, Lord, what do you want me to do?
So it's kind of like signing a blank check.
Right.
Let sure. God write in there what and where and when, but you went ahead and signed the check.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Have you questioned that since that time?
There's been times when I've considered different options as far as like how to live out that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think I'd say I'd ever questioned that.
Okay.
No.
Does that affect, and I'm going to get personal here.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Does that affect the type of girl that you would date?
100%. Where I'm at in life right now, I'm not 100% sure/certain where God would have me go. But right now I know that he wants me to go into some type of ministry.
Okay.
So if that girl is not even willing to follow me into a ministry, like that's the first roadblock, if you would say.
First question, are you saved?
Yeah.
Second question, you know, are you open to ministry?
Right.
Right.
Because if she's not even willing to get past that threshold of, yes, I'm willing to follow you into ministry wherever God leads, then it's like, okay,
right.
Bye.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, we can be great friends, but.
Yeah, don't waste your time.
Don't waste your
dating
time.
Somebody that's going in a different direction than
right.
you are.
Right. Right. Because then that's just going to be conflict for the rest of your life.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Tell me when you got saved and how did that happen?
I didn't get saved actually till I was 16, and this was so cool too. I got saved in April of my 16th, the year that I turned 16.
Yeah, yeah.
And then that summer was when God really spoke to me about being willing to do whatever he wanted me to do.
Okay.
So, you know, I grew up in a Christian home. One sermon when I was 8, the pastor was preaching on hell. And, you know, what 8-year-old wants to go to hell?
Sure,
so
yeah.
I went home and I, you know, asked my mom, I was like, Mom, how do I not go to hell? And she's like, well, you just need to pray this prayer.
Okay.
And I prayed the prayer, didn't really mean it, didn't really fully understand what it was, what it meant, didn't really wholeheartedly repent of my sin. And that's
right.
a big thing, too, is
right,
repentance.
Right.
So there wasn't that repentance. There wasn't that full understanding of what I was even saying.
It was basically a life insurance policy.
Right, a fire insurance policy.
Fire insurance, yeah.
As opposed to actually understanding the gospel.
Okay.
So from 8 to 15, on the outside, I was a pretty good kid. You know, growing up in a Christian home, you kind of have to be a good kid or else you're getting spanked.
You have to talk Sunday schoolies.
Right, right.
Yeah, yeah.
So there was a time, you know, I grew up and there was a time when I was 15 that on the outside looked good, but on the inside I was totally bad. And even my parents knew, and it started, what was on the inside started to bubble out into the outside.
Right.
You know, lying to parents, being rebellious, disobedient, all that good stuff.
Yeah.
And my dad was like, you know, Justin, if you don't shape it up, if you don't shape up your life, you know, you may not be welcome in our home anymore, sort of thing. Kind of like gave me
that serious then, didn't it?
Right. So like an ultimatum. And, you know, after that, my outside behavior changed because.
Yeah, yeah.
Know, but.
The street life didn't look that great, did it?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But on the inside, I knew that nothing had changed.
Okay.
And so when I was 16, that's when I started to realize for myself how bad I really was. in the terms of how sinful I was.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of had that eureka moment and that moment in time where I recognized now that I was a sinner, that I was on my way to hell. And unless I repented of my sins and put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ as my personal Savior,
right,
rather than just praying a prayer, that's when Christ truly saved me.
So it was faith and repentance then,
right,
combined together.
Praying instead of just meaningless words at that time.
Okay.
And then, like I said, you know, I went to camp that summer and God started to direct my life from that point on to where I am now.
Did you find that after you trusted Christ as your Savior and your life began to change, did you find that your friendships and your associations changed any at all?
For certain, yeah. And part of that decline from 8 to 15 was some of the friends that I had. They were not good friends at all.
Okay.
They would peer pressure and introduce me to things that,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So when I was 16, that's when I really also, again, that same summer
mm-hmm.
that I gave my life over to God and saying, Lord, whatever you want me to do. It was also another summer that there was a message on friendship. So I came back from camp and made a conscious, concerted effort to clean up some of those friendships.
Sure.
And
right.
distance myself from those who, you know, probably like me, you know, they said the prayer when they were 8.
Right.
But nothing really changed. And so I really had to distance myself from some of those friendships. And so it was kind of hard, too, during that time, because as it was, you know, those were some of the closest friends I had at that time. But they were just horrible influences. So from ages 16 till I went to college, for that span of like two, three years, mm-hmm. I didn't really have any close friends.
Pretty lonely then.
Yeah. So I never really had that best friend that a lot of people talk about that they could just go up and talk to anything about. So I didn't really have that.
But yet you were willing to pay the price, which was loneliness, to follow Psalm 1, you know, the idea of walking not in the counsel of the ungodly,
right,
sitting in the way of sinners, that kind of a thing. And Proverbs 1:10, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not.
Right.
You know, don't give in to the peer pressure. Did you go to a public school or a Christian school or what?
Yeah, and that was another dynamic, too, is starting with I would have been turning 15, and I went into public school as a freshman to play basketball. Now, I took, like, a couple classes because with weird rules and stuff. I was also homeschooled, but
okay.
In order to play basketball for this public school of, like, 2,000 students.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was a big public school in Central Florida. So, yeah, going to public school was rough, too, and wasn't a good influence either.
And graduated from public school.
Right.
Okay, so 4 years of kind of like Daniel standing alone.
Right.
Yeah. Well, folks, I trust that hearing what we've been talking about has caused you to understand that the life of Daniel was certainly one that paid off, purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with what everybody else was doing. And if God is directing you away from friends, away from certain habits that are not godly and not good for you, take that step today. Make that decision. Make that life change. It'll be worth it all. Till the next time, may the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program, have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to help us continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.